Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source, provided by the CPA Technology Advisor at the intersection of technology and public accounting. The Intersection Live podcast series is brought to you by ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community.
Hi, Greg LaFollette, Intersection Live, the CPA Technology Advisor. I'm visiting today with Matt Yatz from Thomson Reuters, and Matt is the product manager for their practice management product called Practice CS. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Greg.
Nice to talk to you, and I'm excited to be able to spend some time talking about Practice CS, among other things, an award-winning product. And you guys have been out with this product now for, about 4 years now, right?
A little bit over 3 years, so okay. Between 3 and 4 years.
Okay. All right. So tell me, I mean, you've been out there in Dexter driving productivity software for practicing accountants for quite a long time. Tell me a little bit about your background. Have you ever had an honest job, or have you always been in software?
Well, that's a great lead-in. So first of all, thanks, Greg, for the opportunity. I'm looking forward to talking to you today as well. I have been involved in software for approximately 15 years now. Primarily, I've always been involved in practice management, time and billing type applications. Kind of switch around just to keep things interesting. I've moved from developing it and being the analyst on the product to training and consulting firms on it. And my latest role now is product manager, kind of overseeing the product and how it's marketed and how it's viewed and positioned within the accounting market.
So you've kind of seen not only this practice management, but its predecessors for a long, long time. And you ran that the consulting group for a while. So you've been in, I'm going to say, hundreds of accounting firms, Matt. Would that be fair?
It sure seems like it. Definitely, I've spoken with many firms over the years and have been in many offices across the country and certainly have learned a lot in every one that I've attended.
Right. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about best practices, kind of air quotes around that as we go through. But first, tell me a little bit. We're accountants, and accountants like metrics. We like numbers. So give me some metrics around the Practice CS product. We've already determined it's been around 3+ years. Talk to me about users and some idea of scale.
Sure. The Practice, as you mentioned, the Practice CS product has been in the market a little over 3 years, and as of now, we are approximately 3,000 firms that have purchased and are implementing the product. That's been a significant number of firms that we have been working with over the last few years, taking advantage of the product. Practice CS has been designed from day one as a product that really can work for virtually any firm in the accounting market. Our intention was to build a product that could scale up from, you know, a one or two or three person firm up to, you know, a very large firm of hundreds of users. We have spent a considerable amount of time and effort in developing the product in a way, and it's not easy. It always seems like it's easy from the outside, but it's not easy to develop a product that has many nice, robust features that larger firms would use without complicating the system, so that if you're a smaller firm that might not be interested in using some of these larger features,
sure,
we don't want to complicate the product for them.
Right. So sometimes you build features so that you once you turn them off, then you just don't see them again, right?
Exactly. Effectively, they're hidden, and unless you want to know them, they're there, you won't even see them.
Right, because the old axiom is that flexibility equals complex, you know, complexity, and, you know, that becomes, you know, therein lies the rub, right?
Absolutely. There's no doubt about that.
Well, Matt, you know, while the rest of us in in public accounting, and I'm sitting in a CPA firm. It's where I office. And for those of us, in the public accounting world, busier season, I mean, it's all busy anymore, but busier season kind of ends the middle of April. And usually after a couple of weeks of vacation, people come back in May and June, all enthused, are going to fix the things that they discovered were so wrong during busier season. Then they go to sleep for July and August, and they go to the lake and they go fishing. And then they come back in September and October and say, oh my golly, we got to get this stuff done before the next season. So I know that, you had a big rush in May and in June, and you got a big rush coming. How's that install and implement season going for you? Does that put a big crush on you guys?
There's no doubt that the summer is definitely our busiest, the busiest time of year for implementing a practice management system, both the summer and the end of the year, right prior to January 1st. The summer has been going extremely well for us. We have now had the benefit of going through this for quite a few years, but with the Practice CS product, we have a really good handle now on really what it takes to implement, hundreds of users in a given month and have the resources in place for that. So it's been going very smooth in the summer. We certainly have seen this year being a little bit different than others in that firms seem to be busier this summer with more client-related work rather than just internal firm projects this summer. And that's made it a little bit tougher than usual to find the time to implement.
So, I know you're real, real, real busy, but you've got room for one more firm, right?
We always have room for one more firm. There's always room for one more, no doubt.
So let's, we talked a little bit about best practices. Let's talk about best practices. Where does the line between installation, training, best practices, implementation, and support? How does that all fit together? I mean, you want happy users, and I suppose a happy user is one who's well trained, right?
Absolutely. That's a really good question. I mean, there is multiple levels of support, kind of support for implementation that we work with for a firm. It would be great if every firm we gave a blueprint and said, this is the blueprint for success. We have that put together, and we've certainly used that with a lot of firms, but every firm is a little bit different. So what we attempt to do is really determine where they're at as far as, are they brand new to practice management? They've been on a manual system, or have they been using a pretty decent practice management system? So now it's just kind of updating to that, and then we really try to develop a plan for them that involves, doing some training, whether it's a web-based training or an on-demand training that they can do, whenever they want, or it's a little more robust consulting where we go in and work with a firm and really look at their processes and give them some recommendations based on, our 25 years of experience in implementing these type of applications in firms.
Sure. So Matt, when new users come to you, and they, the sales department gets a call and somebody says, I want to buy Practice CS. Are those people coming from, you have a legacy practice management product at Thomson Reuters, right?
We actually have a couple of them, yes.
Okay, so you've got those. So are they coming from those products? Are they brand new businesses? Are they moving up from, from time slips or... we're moving over from another product, and don't say all of those. How does that work?
That works great. You took my answer.
Okay.
No, approximately, we're seeing about half of the users that are new to Practice CS are coming from one of our legacy products within the family, and then with the remaining 50%, we're really starting to see, and this is different than say 5 years ago or even longer, where we're seeing the firms that have been on a manual system really starting to get it that they need to move to something a little more automated. you know, there's still a lot of, I mean, we've seen the statistics. There's still a lot of firms out there that are not using something. I think the kind of the holy grail of integration and being able to enter an address in one place and having it all pull together in an application like Practice CS is really starting to move some of those people from their manual systems or from maybe a time and billing system that doesn't really have the full breadth of services.
Sure. So, Matt, after you've got you brought a new user, a new firm in their you've done the implementation, some training, and they've been using the system for a while. What's the thing that they talk about most? What's the one thing that these firms really, really like about Practice CS? What's the big item that they all go gaga about?
Well, since you're holding me to one thing, I'll have to pick the dashboards. I mean, the dashboard concept is certainly not new to software. It's relatively new to the practice management time and billing software.
And doing it well is new. That's a new concept.
Sure, absolutely. And so the ability to get the real-time data at a staff level, a firm level, a client level, and really our job is to make the accountant look good in the eyes of their client. And when they receive a phone call, 5 seconds, they pull up the client dashboard and kind of scan through it in 15 seconds, and on the spot, they can answer questions to that client without having to call them back. That makes them look good, and that's really where we get a lot of compliments back.
Sure. So now you've built those dashboards, Matt, just to make sure the listeners understood. You went through that real quickly. You have staff, and you have firm, and you have client view. But, I mean, you kind of start the product ships with those dashboards, I don't know if I call it defined, but each user can go in and set up their own, say, for example, staff level dashboard, my own dashboard, however I want, different than however you might want it, right?
That is correct. If you have 10 people in the firm, you can have 10 different views of that dashboard. I only want to see these things. I only want to see these. I'm a different person. I want to see different things. Or if you want to have it standardized, and we've certainly have heard this a fair amount where they say, I want everyone to have a standard look and feel, you can certainly do that and push that to your staff people in the firm too.
Sure. So that's the dashboards. That's the one thing that they all like. What's the one thing that causes them difficulty? What do they come back and say, we don't like?
Well, that's a good question. It's kind of like the old interview question. Show me your strengths and then your weaknesses. I think the biggest issue I would say that we encounter with Practice CS in getting feedback from our firms is that it definitely is a product that they need to spend some time up front thinking about, ensuring that they implement the product correctly. So many firms, are accustomed or just busy, and we're all busy. They're so accustomed to, I can plug this in, and it's just going to fit into my processes. And Practice CS is a product that touches so many different things. If they don't spend the right amount of time or a specified amount of time up front making sure they implement it properly, it will not go successful. And I would say that's probably what we hear.
Sure. So it just plain, it's a lot of work at the front end. And the work isn't because of the technology. The work is because you really have to, you're defining, in many cases, you're defining workflows and things that people have never really had to think about before, right?
Absolutely. I think when you take a process and you throw technology at it, that's great. Technology can certainly improve upon that process. But if the process itself is inefficient, the technology is only going to make it even more inefficient. So we're finding that by firms taking the time to think about things, they may find, wait a minute, our process may be pretty inefficient the way that we're doing it right now. Now I have to push this change to 10 or 15 or 20 people in the firm, and that's where you get some resistance.
Right. right? Because you certainly don't want, you apply technology to inefficiency and you just get inefficiency faster.
Exactly.
Right? Which certainly isn't a good idea. Well, Matt, I know that you you spend an awful lot of time looking and thinking and working with Practice CS. Other than the great big things, you know, like the dashboard, which is really huge, what's the one favorite feature that you like? Tell me something that's like way cool.
Well, that's a great question. I think the thing that, if I were to look at the product, the thing that I, you know, being in it every day, I think it's all cool, of course, but we recently added, in conjunction with the custom formatting capability where a user can now custom format a report or a letter or invoice statement layout, we added something called the Practice CS Library, which allows us as a company to create formats that we think are you know, maybe not as popular. We won't add them as a standard report, but we think, you know, a fair amount of people may want them, or we get requests from people. And so we've posted those, and literally it's a one click from one of their dashboards. They say, I like the way this report looks. One click, and it puts it on their standard report list. What's really cool about it is that they have, as a user, they have the ability to create any of their custom formats and then send them and publish them right through the program so that any other user of Practice CS can take a look at that format and then, again, use it within their own firm for their own data.
So
I think that's huge.
This is social networking. This is the beginnings of user-generated content, users helping users, helping each other. That's a great process. Are people using that, Matt?
They are. They are definitely doing that, or in conjunction with calling the support department to work through a specific formula or something to that effect, they'll come up with that and say, hey, I'd love to publish that and share it with other people. People have done it for years, you know, just kind of informally, you know, my buddy down the street, hey, why don't you take this? This gives them the ability to literally share it with thousands of other firms.
Right, and so you're over at Thomson Reuters. Your old, long-term, 20-plus-year bulletin board service, Arnie 2. People have been using that to do this, but what you've designed now is completely encapsulated. Just an automatic thing that happens without having to go upload something manually. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Just right through the program, you can view a PDF preview of the report. If you like the way it looks, you just click a button to import, and it just happens.
Right. So, Matt, where do people get caught? You know, other than the implementation, you know, how do I do this setup? Once they're up and running, what causes confusion or support questions and user questions?
Well, I would say that it's kind of been consistent over the years, and we've seen it still be the case with Practice CS, is that the custom invoice and statement formatting, the ability, you know, you it's always been the old joke, if you take a 10 accountants and ask them what they want their invoices to look like, you'll get 11 answers. And so in building a tool that's flexible enough that really can handle the biggest majority of scenarios, it's a little bit difficult to use for somebody that's not accustomed to using it every day. I would say that's really probably the area that kind of generates that type of thing.
And I would guess it's not something you use every day, because by and large, you set it up, you get it the way you want, and you forget about it. And then, you know, a year or two later, you decide you want to make a change, and you go, how does that work again? Because I haven't used it for a while.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. That's right.
So we talked originally about the implementation and the training and that sort of thing, and I know that that's the answer that you're going to give me here, but tell me what makes the best user. I mean, outside of the fact that they have to be well trained, what's the sweet spot? I know you're telling me this, you know, that the Practice CS fits, you know, 2 to 2,000. There's got to be a sweet spot. Where do you see the sweet spot, Matt?
Well, that's again a good question, Greg. Because again, we did design the system to really to really be a wide range. I think that when you look at a firm, and the majority of firms out there are not, you know, 200 or 500 person firms. They're really in the 5 to 25 range. I think that's the biggest majority of firms.
Yep.
And so once you start getting to a point where you have five people in the office and you hand off, you know, one project to from one person to the next person, and you're not doing it all, the workflow capability within Practice CS really begins to benefit them. And again, if you have multiple people working on a project and somebody's out of the office, the ability to go to a client dashboard and see all the notes that other people that may be working on this project over the last 3 months have made, so you don't have to make a phone call and it's all right there. So I would say that's probably the sweet spot, 5 to 25, but obviously we have successes on both sides.
Exactly, exactly. So, Matt, time's getting to be an issue here, and I've got a couple of things that I want to talk to you about. Talk to me a little bit about the roadmap for the product. Just a little bit on, you know, maybe what the enhancements are that you're working on in a general framework. I'm certainly not going to ask you what day you're going to release anything, but kind of conceptually, what are you working on? Where are you going?
Right. What we've been attempting to do the past couple of years since the product's been out, I mean, obviously we need to respond to people who have the product and say, gosh, I like it, but I wish it would do this. We're always doing that and always making it faster and that type of thing. The big thing that I'm really excited about that we've been working on for a while and will be releasing later this year and then enhancing over the course of the next 6 months after that is a portion of the product that we're calling staff management. The primary components of what staff management will contain are, you know, employee benefit tracking, so vacations, PTO, that type of thing. In order to schedule them, we need to know what a staff person is doing all of the time.
Sure.
It will have a component for budgeting staff time. So, you know, things like we want them to be 80% billable. They work a 40-hour week most of the year, but they work a 50-hour week in tax season or whatever it may be, and then doing comparison reporting, that type of thing. Tracking CPE, obviously, CPE component is important to accounting firms. And then I think where the big part of it is that we're really most excited about and really excited to talk to people about is the staff scheduling component.
Sure.
Again, from my experience in working with firms, you know, the last 15 years, there's really no true killer app, so to speak, for scheduling in an accounting firm.
Exactly.
Everyone wants a real good one, and they're not necessarily happy with what they have. They maybe can't even tell you what they want, but if they see it, they'll buy it.
Exactly.
So we've been working with, you know, literally dozens of firms now for quite a while to try to, you know, put an application out there to assist with staff scheduling, and that's really going to be the big thing that we're working on over the next 6 to 9 months.
Well, as Thomson Reuters continues to gather up products, for example, the required product, you know, is now a Thomson product. You know, you're gonna at some point somebody's gonna say, well, you know, can my Practice CS go over and talk to required for CPE? You guys have done a pretty bang up job across the company of starting to do that stuff pretty regularly. So I assume that's on the roadmap too, right?
That has certainly been in discussion. Absolutely.
Great. Well, Matt, we're just about out of time. I want to ask you one question. Where do you see practice management in 20 years? And you can say whatever you want because I'm not going to be back here to check with you in 20 years, but just real generally, elevator speech, 30 seconds, where's practice management going to be 20 years from now?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, 20 years, it's tough to see exactly where we're going to be. I think that over the next 20 years, we're going to continue to see practice management software become really more of the central point for really all of the software-related activities in the accounting office. You know, firms have for years have been talking about trying to consolidate and again, get back to the whole change the address one time and it changes everywhere. They don't have to remember that.
Sure.
So I think the ability to consolidate as many disparate tasks and databases in their office and kind of pull it together in one solution. And I think that's the direction we're going. I mean, obviously, the technology is probably going to be a number of generations different.
Sure. And no doubt all SaaS by that time, right?
I would certainly think so, sure. That's
great. Matt, thanks so very much for your time. I've been talking with Matt Yotst, who's the product manager for Practice CS with Thomson Reuters, and I appreciate your time, Matt. Thank you so very much. You've got a great product, and you're justifiably proud of it. Thank you so very much.
Thanks, Greg. I appreciate it.
For more information about the CPA Technology Advisor's other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit www.cpatechadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106, or tune into future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via TalkShoe.com.